Good morning. Welcome back to our two-day meeting. We have several council members who are actively engaged in their day job and will be here a few minutes late. I remind council members about our audio cast and the need to speak into your microphone, address each other by name, and identify yourselves as well. Continuing our meeting, on our agenda, we'll hear from the internal committee chairs with their respective judicial council presentations, and we'll start with Policy Coordination and Liaison Committee, Judge Kenneth So.
Morning, everyone. The Policy Committee has met five times since the last council meeting. This is going to be our busy season. We've met three times in March and twice in April, taking positions on behalf of the council on 19 separate pieces of legislation. We approved seven legislative proposals to go out for public comment and adopted recommendations on one proposal for judicial council sponsorship. I'm going to only highlight the bills that were on the discussion agenda, and all other committee action can be found in the minutes posted with the council meeting agenda. On March 6th, PCLC acted to support, if amended and funded, AB 1591 related to the firearm reporting requirements to the Department of Justice. At its March 27th meeting, the committee recommended council sponsorship of a legislative proposal on civil restraining orders and took a neutral position on AB 1932, which relates to appellate court decisions. At this same meeting, PCLC voted to oppose, unless amended, neutral if amended, AB 2089, dealing with domestic violence, and a support position on AB 2195, dealing with juvenile truancy. We've met twice dealing with AB 2085, which is the one-time amnesty program for fines and bail, once on March 18th and on April 10th. Initially, our position was to oppose the bill. After further discussion, we have withdrawn the opposed position and took a no position with direction to staff to work with the author and other interested parties. This is, of course, a potential revenue-raising measure. On April 17th, our committee continued sponsorship of AB 1657's original intention to provide interpreter services to all parties in all cases. PCLC voted to support, if funded, AB 1773, dealing also with public contracts, and took a neutral, if amended, position on AB 2476, relating to Public Employees Pension Reform Act of 2013. The chief has described some of the meetings after her State of the Judiciary speech. That was a very robust discussion with members of the legislature and guests. In addition, the Bench Bar Coalition's day in Sacramento occurred the same day, and we've met with many legislators on issues of critical importance to the branch. Finally, our Judicial Council-sponsored proposals have all been introduced and continue to move through the legislative process. We will keep you informed of the progress of this council-sponsored legislation and other bills of interest to the judicial branch. Chief, that completes my report.
Thank you, Judge So. Next, we'll hear from Executive and Planning Committee, Justice Douglas Miller.
Thank you, Chief. I'd like to highlight just three things. My written report will be posted online after the meeting. First of all, I wanted to thank the California Judges Association and their president, Judge Glusman, for their interest in the Judicial Council and how the Judicial Council works and the interview that they conducted of me as chair of BNP. I truly appreciated the opportunity to explain to your broad membership of judges who we are, what we do, how we work, and how we make decisions. And I, again, sincerely appreciate that. And I hope that they will interview others of you. I volunteered all of you to undergo that. And just as a note, you know, if you've had the opportunity to read the interview and you want to nominate Judge Fruin for a Pulitzer, please do. And then secondly, our committee met on Wednesday to review annual agendas for our many advisory committees. I believe this review is one of the more significant reforms instituted by the Chief Justice and the Judicial Council. We all remember in the past that we had a number of advisory committees, task forces, working groups, and committees that may not have reported all to the council or to anyone, and sometimes headed off in many different directions without any real oversight or direction or guidance from the judicial councils. The committees did and continue to do great and important work, but sometimes they committed, they created a number of subcommittees and other aspects that put a strain on our limited staff resources. It was, I think, in some sense, a lack of governance by us, the Judicial Council, and it was something that the Strategic Evaluation Committee discussed. And I want to thank again Judge Walkup and Judge McKay for your work on that committee and bringing some of those issues to our attention. Over the last couple of years, we've streamlined the number of committees and made sure that every single committee reports to an internal committee chair and to the committee on the Judicial Council. And we do annual reviews of each committee to make sure we stay on task and to make sure that we're accountable in that regards. Finally, I'd like to give a special thanks to the Chief Justice for her constant outreach efforts. While she alluded to these in her report yesterday, I can personally attest to the passion and intellect she demonstrates when she tells us others and tells us and others about the branch, and especially the opportunity she has to engage the young and not so young. After a function in Sonoma, an eighth grade girl was quoted in the newspaper. She said, after listening to the Chief Justice, she realized anything was possible. That's why education is so important. I can remember an outreach of the Supreme Court before this Chief Justice that came to the Palm Springs area where a young girl listened to Justice Kennard talk about her route to the Supreme Court. And when this young girl left the podium and walked over to where I was, she had tears in her eyes, a young Hispanic girl who told me, you know what, if she can do it, I can do it. I also had the privilege last month to be on the stage with the Chief at an event in San Bernardino, and I can tell you that after she left, that so many of the members came up to me to tell me what an opportunity it was to hear her and how inspiring she was. So again, Chief, thank you for what you do in that regards with outreach and civics education. It's important and significant, and thank you. Thank you. That's my report.
Thank you, Justice Miller. Next, we'll hear from Rules and Projects, Justice Harry Hall.
Thank you, Chief. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. The Rules and Projects Committee has met four times and has considered a report by email since the Judicial Council last met on February the 20th. On March 21st, RUPRO met by telephone to review the annual agenda of the Mental Health Implementation Task Force and also to review two templates to be used by advisory committees in their communications with RUPRO, and further to review 10 proposals that circulated for public comment during the winter rule cycle. RUPRO approved the annual agenda and the templates and recommends to the Council approval of those 10 proposals, which are set forth in our materials today as items A1 through A9 on the consent agenda and item M on the discussion agenda. Along with the Executive and Planning Committee, RUPRO met by telephone on April 11th and April 15th to consider the rule on open meetings of Judicial Council advisory bodies. RUPRO recommended approval of this rule proposal, which was item 1 on the Council's agenda yesterday. RUPRO met by video conference on April 16th to consider 20 proposals to circulate for public comment in the spring 2014 rule cycle. RUPRO approved circulation of 16 of the proposals. These proposals are posted for public comment through June the 18th. Following circulation and review, further review by the advisory committees and RUPRO, these proposals are expected to come before the Judicial Council at the October 2014 business meeting. On April 14th, RUPRO members by email also considered a technical amendment report relating primarily to technical amendments to forms to avoid confusion to court users, forecourt users, clerks, and judicial officers. RUPRO recommends approval of this report, which is item A10 on the consent agenda. I will only add that having been chair of RUPRO for approximately 2.5 years, I still have difficulty pronouncing that acronym. And that's my report, Chief. Thank you.